Welcome to the Families at Grace podcast, where we seek to equip and encourage parents as they apply the gospel in their homes.
Hey, welcome to the Families at Grace podcast. I'm Savannah.
I'm Josh.
And this is Jason.
And today we are coming at you. It's the Christmas season, so we want to start off with an icebreaker. And today we're going to discuss our favorite Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. So guys,
wow. Favorite Christmas movie. I mean, I love Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Get yourself something real nice. but also, Muppet's Christmas Carol has been a favorite for a long time, too. So,
great. I like
rendition of that classic.
Yep. Yeah. I can hear Kermit singing a song from that in my head right now.
I don't know if I've ever actually seen the Muppet's Christmas Carol.
We will have to change that this year.
Okay.
The two heckler guys are Jacob and Robert Marley.
Yep.
More of gravy than of grave. Oh.
See? Perfect. Josh and I can just act it out for you, Savannah.
That, oh, perfect. Just
a personal, that's right. I know a lot of that. I think for me, Elf gets quoted in my house just all year. So it Asher, I don't even think he had seen the movie yet. But anytime somebody says the word buddy, or if he's saying goodbye to somebody, he'll be like, bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. He just says that all year because he's heard us say it so much. So probably Elf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when it comes to most quotable, definitely Elf. And then we also quoted The Grinch a lot growing up, the one with Jim Carrey.
Yeah. Oh.
And I feel like people have strong opinions. Some people really like it. Some people don't. Mm-hmm. But my dad loved to quote that movie growing up.
Yeah. I did not that one.
Oh.
Yeah. I think they came out at the same time as Elf, or around the same, within a year or two of each other. And I was just I'm a classic guy. I like the old Grinch.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
Elf definitely tops it for me. And then the other one that's more classic is White Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I like that movie.
Yeah.
That's
a good one.
That's classic.
That is
classic.
Another quotable.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked the costumes in that one.
Oh,
I'm sure you guys can't relate as much, but
That's why we really were saying we like the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes,
it's that's right.
Really, the wardrobe is just on point.
It is. Uh-huh. Dream about that one all year. So today we are going to introduce a topic that this is kind of different than what we've talked about recently. And so the conversation is going to revolve around transparency in parenting. And just to introduce that, because some of you may be what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. We know that there's a temptation for us to appear perfect when it comes to our children or even the families that we surround ourselves with. And that temptation can be much stronger in the church sometimes than it may be, at school or other places. And so really we want to talk about the importance of transparency in front of our children and the way that we live out the gospel before them. And then the way that we model just things like repentance. And sometimes we have these questions of, how much should I share with my child? How much should I withhold from my child? And so we'll cover some of that at the end as well. But the real crux of today is just, what does it look like for us to be transparent with our kids? And how can we model our faith in our daily lives? Because they're going to see our sins. We like to try to hide those from a lot of people, but our kids are some of the ones who have the closest access and are seeing us on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. So anything that you guys want to add, kind of starting out, laying the foundation?
I think probably it'd be helpful for us to just first acknowledge this is something that I think most parents probably struggle with on some degree.
Yeah.
It might be helpful for us to think for a moment about where it comes from. I think it could either come from pride.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to admit that they're a sinner. It's definitely the knee-jerk reaction is to cover up our sin and to appear that we're better than we are.
Yeah.
So I think pride would be one. And there's probably, in addition to that, a sort of practical desire that says if I appear to be sinful in front of my kids, then they're going to be just like me. Or if I disclose to them sins that I've struggled with in the past, they're going to now feel excused to go and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's sort of a fear a pride and fear thing that probably drives a lot of that whole thing. And then, I don't know, just off the top of my head, I think the pragmatically, the problem with that, we'll talk about the truth in just a second, but pragmatically, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, because we live with our kids.
Yeah. The, right. They see the reality. And I think we, it starts from a good place. Like we, I think we, as parents, we all want to be good parents. We all want to love our kids well. And so to admit that we sin and don't do it as well as we want to takes a lot of courage and like talking about honesty and transparency on our part to get to our own hearts. So that's why, that's kind of why we're talking about this, is we need to get to our own hearts as parents. And what is this motivating us to cover up our sin or to not be honest with other folks? So, so we start at a good place, but like Josh said, our own sinfulness twists that to, and our pride takes that to be covering up and putting on a false sense that we've got it all going on, right?
Yeah.
And we're doing it right. And, you know, coming to Sunday morning can be the most stressful time of the week, we have found. And so, you know, we get to church and we all want to look like we're well put together and we've got it all right. But it's not usually happening that way, you know, at the breakfast table or in the car on the way to church. So, so we just want to encourage everybody that we can be honest about where we are. The gospel is big enough for that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk for just a second too, Savannah. Maybe you can talk about it. Like if we try to pretend to be perfect for our kids or for other people, like what are we teaching wrong when we do that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's good. I think when we try to model perfection and pretend, we provide this false sense that we don't really need the gospel, that maybe the gospel isn't powerful enough to transform our lives. And so for our children, we're really giving into our sins. We're not modeling repentance. We're not showing them the importance of repentance. And I think that, like we've said, like we've continued to say already and will continue to say, our kids aren't blind to our sin. So they know what's going on and they're getting a front row seat to it. And so I think that it's harmful to our kids and it's also harmful to our own souls when we fail to realize that we need the gospel, not just for salvation, but for sanctification on a daily basis. Yeah. We've got to continually repent. And as they see that in our lives, I think that it's so helpful to just to show them the pattern that, you know, they're going to sin too. And when they sin, there is forgiveness for that and there is help and also accountability. And I'm thinking too, like being in the digital age, often we see the best of everybody that we're around on Instagram or on Facebook, wherever it may be. And so there's this added temptation or this added pressure just to think like, oh, everybody's got it together except for me. And so the more authentic that we can be in relationships with both our kids and with our peers and our community at church, the more helpful that's going to be to ourselves and to our children.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that for a second. So social media and things like that.
Yeah.
Like you and I all see, like, you know, and have done this probably to some degree at one point or another. Your kid does something that's like really spiritually mature. Like you catch them, they're reading their Bible off to themselves, right? And you're like, oh, I really want to put that somewhere. Or you see other parents who have put their kid. Well, if you see a picture of somebody else's kid, then you now like construct this elaborate imagined thing about that family. Oh my gosh, what if this family is like?
Every day is a worship service. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you've ever thought that about my kids, then you haven't seen us on Sunday morning trying to load the car up. You know, I think some transparency with each other about the idea that, yes, there are little glimpses of maturity and things that give us hope about raising our kids. And then in between those are punctuated by a whole lot of mess.
Yeah.
Totally. It'd be helpful for us to just be honest about that probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe we talk about pragmatic stuff now. Like how do we actually be honest with our kids about that kind of thing? Jason, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think especially for younger kids, we are in the process of teaching them what obedience is, what that looks like, You know, we always, at our house, we repeat frequently, obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with a happy heart. And so we're trying to get that into our kids' lives so they can be good disciples in the future. It's not just about getting our way. It's about preparing them for living life as a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. But as we teach obedience, we don't want to teach perfectionism, right? Mm-hmm. We want to teach that the only way God will love you, or we will love you, or that you'll be, you know, be able to be a follower of Jesus is if you're perfect. Mm-hmm. So we have to teach obedience, but also model repentance. So you said this, Savannah, but we have to be showing our kids what repentance looks like. So when we sin against them, when we yell at them, when we, you know, lose our temper, when we do something wrong, we need to be the ones who are quick to come back and say, "Hey, son, daughter, I was wrong to do this. Will you please forgive me?"
Right.
So that models for them what we want to see happen in their lives, because we want them, when God saves them, for there to be an opportunity for them to repent, for them to know what that looks like. And if we're not modeling that for them, then they don't know. And we're, you know, we can't just lecture them about times when they sin and disobey and expect them to know what to do next.
Yeah.
We have to teach, we have to model for them true repentance. So, you know, with Proverbs 28:13 is an important verse here. Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Mm-hmm. So that's what we want that to really be part of the fabric of our family.
Right.
That repentance is important. We don't want to hide sin, because that's we all know that's our tendency.
Yeah.
And it's tendency for our kids is to hide our sin and cover it up. But when we expose it and confess it, that's when it can be dealt with. And when the mercy of God can be at work in our hearts and our lives. So we want to, I think that's where we start with our kids, is modeling for them what we want to see in repentance.
I think that's great. And I think as you're talking, I'm thinking like, there's an interesting dynamic, because we are in authority in an authority role in the lives of our children, but there's also a humility and an honesty that comes along with that.
Yeah.
And so having authority and proper authority and using that wisely is being honest when we fail to use that correctly.
And I think also, like, you know, there maybe is a fear that if we apologize, then somehow we relinquish some kind of power in there, and then it changes. Often when I'm apologizing to my kids, it's in the midst of something that they did wrong too. There's like apologizing that has to go all around, because the way I reacted to their sinful behavior was also sinful. But trying to maintain that, like, even though I have misbehaved in this sense and I've sinned against you and I'm asking for your repentance, that doesn't mean that somehow you don't also need to repent. Like, just because I was wrong doesn't mean that you're not also wrong. So it kind of goes both ways there. So I think you can still communicate to them that they need to repent, even when you need to repent. Still there.
Yeah. So how do we teach accountability? As we've already mentioned, like, that we can have accountability among our peers and even maybe with our children. But what does that look like in action?
Yeah, I think as we're talking about modeling repentance and being, you know, bringing the gospel into those situations when we sin or our children sin, that doesn't negate consequences. Like, when a child sins, there are going to be consequences, natural consequences or imposed consequences by us as parents that continue, that needs to happen. We're not saying that you shouldn't do that. But we also want to model how the gospel interacts with that. So those consequences don't reduce our love for them. Like, we don't want the consequence to be a separation from in our relationship with our children.
Right.
Because that's not what God did either. He brought his own son, whose death and resurrection paid the consequences for us. So he, in the midst of us suffering for, or Jesus suffering for our sin, God was communicating his love for us. So as we bring consequences, whatever that is, in your family, according to the age of your children, we need to overly communicate, you know, this is because I love you and I want you to grow and learn from this, not because I'm trying to punish you in a way that separates us. So, so we want to, as you're talking through consequences, you keep bringing in the gospel. As you talk about that and what Christ has done for us. So, and you know, this opportunity for us to talk about things that we have experienced in our own lives, consequences for sin in our lives, that hopefully have led to us learning and growing closer to the Lord in our own walk with Him. So as our children mature, we're going to be able to share more details about that as they grow up. You know, we're not not giving every detail of our sin or our past life, but you can you can use this as an opportunity to share the gospel with them. You know, you can talk about your own sinful attitudes or actions before you came to Christ, and how God changed your heart, and how you are seeking now to not repeat those actions. And that can be something that our kids learn from and hear the gospel from us again.
Yeah. And I love that, just at the root of everything, loving our children well, and just continuing to let them know that the things that we're doing to teach them are really for their good. Like, we want them to be people who have accountability and who understand that, and then who are able to model the gospel in their own lives. So that's kind of accountability with our children and modeling that for them. But then what about in our relationships with other parents? How can we be transparent with other parents, and how can we be honest with them?
Yeah, I think the same principle applies here, and that is that no one is perfect. No family is perfect. No parent is perfect. No child is perfect. You know, we walk.
Keep going.
Yeah, no one's perfect. But we want to kind of wear a mask when we walk into these situations. And for whatever reason, background and all of that kind of thing, we associate church with everybody else in this room has it together. We all show up. We look real put together. We dress up nicer than we did. We've, you know, all those kinds of things. We're on our best behavior. And so we make assumptions about where people are. When I would say, I don't know, Jason is children's pastor, is a youth pastor. Certainly I have parents that come to me all the time with all kinds of difficulties. And every time a parent comes up to me with a difficulty, I can think immediately of three other parents that I just talked to with the exact same issue. And the truth is that while there are some kids that are just unusually easy and compliant and all those things, and it just seems like it's easy sailing. For a lot of parents, most parents, sometimes it feels like you're banging your head against a brick wall. And I think if we would all just make an agreement that we would make the assumption that everybody's having a hard time with this and speak as if that were the case. I have one parent in particular that I can just think of that if I asked her how she was doing, she would just immediately be like, oh man, it's really tough right now because and it would just like give me, you know, all the play-by-play of what's happening. I think that kind of honesty really opens us up for help and encouragement because somebody is going to hear you say that and they're going to say, oh my goodness, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Or even if it's not the exact same thing, it's enough difficulty to say yes. So I think if we're really honest, we kind of lift our guard a little bit, we open ourselves up for much more help than if we just kind of walked around in our own little worlds.
I would say to our first time parents who are listening that you need to know that those of us who aren't going through this the first time are still struggling. You're doing this stuff for the first time and it's going to feel strange. You're going to run into situations that you've never experienced before, and that's okay. It's your first time. Don't be so hard on yourself. Give yourself some grace that you haven't had. You know, you may not have had great preparation in your family of origin or whatever to be ready for this. Give yourself some grace. And like Josh says, reach out to other people here in our community who've been through it before and who have experienced that. They can be helpful to you.
Yeah. I think, there were a couple of weeks ago, I was walking into one of the parents' community groups to take somebody else, and I just walked in that room, and I was like, oh, I'd love to just stay here for a while and, like, glean the wisdom, because this is an incredible group of parents who would have a lot to offer, and I think that is one of the beautiful things about the church, is just we have each other, and parents who are hopefully leading their kids in a similar direction, pointing them toward Christ, and who are a few steps ahead of us, who are really willing and able to help. So definitely encourage all of you to tap into those resources. As we're kind of getting toward the end here, is there anything specific for older kids, Josh, that we haven't covered that might be different or that we might want to think through as they progress through the years?
The only other thing that I would say is with older kids, all the principles we've already talked about, I think, apply throughout your mm-hmm. kids' lives. But I often get the question from parents and from small group leaders and things like that, but primarily parents, like, how much about, like, for example, my past do I disclose? You know, if we're talking about confessing our sins and talking about being honest with our kids, you know, how much do I tell them about what my past was? And I think some of that, there's a fear there that says, if I tell them the laundry list of things that I did when I was their age, I'm somehow giving them permission to go and do likewise and that they'll turn out just fine. And I don't think that's an invalid fear. We certainly don't want them to have some kind of misconception that, like, just go and sin so that grace may abound or something.
Right.
At the same time, I think that if you close all that off, you miss out on an opportunity to relate to your child. So my advice, I guess, would be as your child gets older and starts to kind of bump up against these ideas and temptations, you have the ability, if you have some past history that can give them some counsel because you've made poor choices, or because you haven't made those poor choices, or not all of them, but some, you have the ability to, one, sympathize with them or empathize with where they are sympathize because you've been there. And warn them if you've met the negative consequences of those actions.
Right.
And show them how Jesus saved you from that, has redeemed that in your life, and has forgiven you. And so I think you do need to be discerning about how much information you're talking about. I don't think they need the play-by-play of everything that you did.
Yeah.
But I think a general idea of, I have dealt with this in my life, and I met these consequences for it, and I would warn you, I think God's word has proven true that my mistakes here caused me pain.
And
following this has led to further joy for me, or however it works. So I think that there is discernment, and we're always here to help you if you need to think through specifically what that sounds like. But I think you have a great opportunity in revealing that you are not Superman or Supermom or whatever, by, you know, saying, I was a real person with real struggles when I was your age, and I relate to that with you. I think there's an opportunity there.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I think that's very good. Very helpful. Well, if you guys have enjoyed the podcast and want to know more, we have good news for you. In January, we are kicking off a parenting class. And Jason, do you want to speak to that?
Sure. January 9th will be our first opportunity for this parenting class. We'll start at 9 o'clock. So there are some other seasoned parents who will be leading this class. We'll be going through some of Paul Tripp's material in his parenting book, and also hearing from other families, like kind of what we talked about today. Other folks who have been down this road are going to share their struggles, their joys, their wisdom, things that God has taught them in their parenting journey. So I'm really looking forward to that. I encourage you to come. You know, we do have Children's Sunday School at 9 o'clock. So there are classes for infants all the way through middle school, high school. So it's a great place to let your kids be taught the word of God while you also meet with those other parents. So it's going to be a great opportunity for us to, as parents, to be discipled together.
I'm also told there may be snacks available.
There will be snacks, yes. We have great coffee. We're going to have some snacks as well.
I'm excited about the parenting class. I may be sneaking out of middle school occasionally just to get some insight. So that will be in January. We'd love for you guys to join us for that. And we will look forward to being back with you guys in January with another podcast.
All right. Thanks.
See you then.